everyone. Welcome to Reach Higher Riverside, where we share all Reach Higher stories happening in the greatest county in the nation. My name is Priscilla Grijalva, and I work at the best high school in the world. Hey, Dan, it's been a crazy busy month. The main FAFSA deadline, it was March 4th this year. We had a lot of kids submit. We had over 80% FAFSA completion.
Sounds good. Bringing that number up. It's always good.
Yeah, I know, right? More kids going to college or military.
CTE, and then, yeah.
And CTE, yeah. Catalina Cifuentes was sworn in at the California Department of Education. She now works in Sacramento. So that's a big win for our kids. And then also, I had the honor to go to the Woman of the Year ceremony at the Capitol. Senator Roth honored UCR Representative Estella Acuna. She's also a UCR alumni and the current Chicano Student Programs Director. And she was honored with Senator Roth among other senators for her work in the community. So she's done a lot of great work. She got an honor on the Senate floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to witness that. And it was pretty good. So huge shout out to Estella Acuna. We'll put that YouTube link on our YouTube channel so you guys can see that.
So you've been up to Sacramento quite a bit lately.
Yes, I have. It's been a lot of fun to witness all these celebrations.
Well, besides celebrations.
And then we also went on a college trip. This past week, we were gone a whole week to up north to see different colleges. I had never been to like East Bay, UC Merced. I'm sorry, UC Davis, not UC Merced, but we need to go to Merced someday.
I've been there plenty of times. One day. We did 9 schools in 5 days. We did, the first day we did Channel Islands and then snuck up to Santa Barbara. And then did Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. Day 2 was Santa Cruz, which I'd never been to, and is actually the last of the freshman UCs, because San Francisco is a graduate school that I had to visit. So now I've officially been to all UCs that freshmen can actually apply to. And then we did Cal State East Bay, which is a beautiful campus. We did, the next day was UC Davis and Sacramento State, along with a tour of the state capitol, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that in a minute. And then we did some touring around San Francisco the next day, Berkeley, and then Stanislaus on the way home. And then a long, 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 long drive home.
Yeah, but the kids were great, and the best part was seeing them so happy to see all those different colleges, and they also got to spend time with assembly member Sabrina Cervantes, and she shared a little bit about her story and gave them some great advice, and she was very encouraging. Like, she's very genuine, and I really appreciate that she took time to meet with our kids.
You know, all politics aside, I actually talked to some of the kids about that either the next day or the last day. They were just still beaming how genuine she seemed and how interested a lot of, we had a lot of females on this trip, how interested they were in what she was doing and possibly even doing something like that themselves. They were still beaming about it like days later. And they're still beaming about the whole trip. Actually, yesterday, the program went to an Angels game with a bunch of students, some of whom were on the trip. And they were still just all smiles when you bring up anything about the trip, because it's inside jokes and all that kinds of stuff that, you know, happened. So it was a good week. It was a good week. But it was long.
A lot of Uno games, too. That was fun. A lot of team bonding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That last Uno game that we played was like over an hour long for the one game.
Yeah.
So anyway, what do we have this week?
So this week we have Julie Zerold, I'm not sure if I said her name right, I apologize, and Melina Gonzalez from Paris Union High School District. They're going to be talking about college kickoff and also how that got started in their schools, their district, and our county. It went countywide. And then they'll also give us some tips on what they do to promote college and career.
All right. Let's get to that and then see what we got.
Hi, ladies. If you can introduce yourself and where you work.
Okay, I'm Melina Gonzalez. I'm the AVID counselor and head counselor at Heritage High School.
And I'm Julie Zerold. I'm the director of curriculum and instruction.
How long have you guys worked in education?
I've been in education for 17 years. This is my 17th year as a counselor.
And I've also worked in education for 17 years. And this is my fourth year as a director. And then I was at a school site as an administrator for 9 years.
Oh,
and then
wow.
A teacher for 4.
Oh, that's cool. You guys have a lot of experience.
Yeah.
What is your favorite thing about your job?
Well, I would say my favorite thing about my job is just being able to provide opportunities to implement programs in my new role as a director and working with curriculum and programs. I get to implement programs and practices that support our post-secondary opportunities for students. And so always looking for better ways to provide different opportunities for our students.
And I think my favorite job is part of my job is to help helping kids with college and then them coming back and telling us what they're doing. It's just, it's so awesome. I just had one today come today and tell me about, he just graduated from San Bernardino. He's working on getting his master's. And so it's just really exciting to see all the work is actually paying off when they're coming back and telling you how they're doing.
Yeah, that's always one of the best parts of the job.
Yes.
Yeah, I have to totally agree. We just got, some of our students just got accepted to college, so we've been so excited for them. And then just to hear, like, when they come back, it's always nice to see them.
Well, yeah, we actually ran into, I think I counted it at 8 former students that we ran into on our tour last week. And it's always neat to see what they're doing and what they're working. And I know some we couldn't meet because they're off doing internships, one even in Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow. How exciting.
Yeah, we were gone for a whole week on an AVID trip, so it was nice. You guys were the first district to start college kickoff, or I believe you call it kickoff to college. Can you share how that got started and also tell our listeners what it is?
All right. Yeah. So the kickoff to college is a district wide event that we do every year, and it includes every grade level and every school site participates. And it's all focused around doing college and career readiness type activities. So we do activities that revolve around college applications, FAFSA applications for our seniors, SAT prep, PSAT, for our 10th graders, our 8th graders, as well as our 11th graders on track for A to G. So we really focus on activities that support students identifying possible college matches for themselves or exploring what type of career they want to have. And this all kind of started with just some conversation with counselors. It was originally when we started having a conversation about implementing the PSAT for our students on a larger scale by offering it to all of our 10th graders. And then as we were having that conversation with our team of counselors, we then started talking about what it would look like on a larger scale and involving everybody on all the campuses with activities that revolve around focusing on college and career readiness, really in an effort to make sure that all of our students were exposed to the same types of activities that our AVID students are. And so it's been really neat to see how that kind of has morphed into something bigger and better every year. And I would say it's probably one of the coolest things for our AVID students and AVID teachers and counselors to see the AVID students actually are helping support a lot of those activities with the other students on the campus. And so it's been fun to see that kind of spread across our campus, but also across the county.
Yeah, as you look for campus-wide implementation, yeah.
Yeah.
Just to confirm, you said you only do 10th graders for PSAT?
We actually do 8th graders, 10th graders and 11th graders, and then our AVID students also take the PSAT in 9th grade.
So we do a little bit different. We do 9th, 10th, and 11th at our school, well, actually in our whole district.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. Do you guys have any advice for schools or districts that want to start a college kickoff?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is really trying to get participation from everybody, not just limiting it to just the counselors or just the administrators for the implementation piece of that. And it's really involving them in the lesson development, ideas on what needs to improve each year. We always do a survey with not just our students, but also with our staff. And I would also say some of the biggest things with preparing for the event is making sure that we do a really good job of staff development and providing very explicit instructions for our teachers and classified staff that are helping implement those lessons. We also have district support that go out and support the sites. So it's nice to have district personnel supporting the sites through the process. But we spend usually the sites spend 2 to 3 days of just professional development to prepare the teachers in the classrooms for what they're going to be doing with students. Because a lot of the teachers will have some of their students that they normally have, but a lot of teachers are getting students that they don't have typically in their everyday class. And they're also providing instruction on things that they don't typically provide instruction on. So when they're working with students on college searches or career inventories or CTE type pathways and that type of stuff, we really try and provide lesson plans that are step by step and very explicit, and really try to have the teachers go through the process of the lesson plan before the day of the event to ensure that there's no questions, and also so that they feel very comfortable with what that's going to look like when they actually implement it that day for the kickoff to college.
How do you get buy-in? Does it start with the principal presenting it to the staff at each school, and then people just kind of filter out and they help lead it?
I would say really where it's come from now is that the counselors really lead that with the school sites that the administrators don't have to actually do a whole lot of.
Other than this, the testing administration. But yeah. I think what helped us also at Heritage is that we got our whole AVID team involved. So we had them do the planning with us. We had them with our counselors. So that teachers, other teachers telling them like, hey, this is worth it. So having them buy in and then having them be part of the trainings with us was helpful as well. But I mean, it just trickled down. I mean, the first year was tough, but then the second year was smoother. And then now it's something that it happens. It's just part of the culture now. It's something that we do and everybody just goes along with it.
I think it's been neat to see too how much appreciation has come from the staff now with what counselors do. Mm-hmm. There's a better understanding of like the day-to-day operations in the counseling office and mm-hmm. the interactions that they have with students. And it's not just about, you know, changing kids' schedules, but it's about that career planning, that college planning. The financial literacy piece is really big now and really helping students with that aspect. And it's not just the vision of what I think 5-10 years ago, what teachers would say they thought counselors did on a day-to-day basis.
And again, in our juniors, we also, the juniors aspect we do with it is really good because we actually have juniors that don't do the PCT and those kids actually go in and do, we have the teachers that are helping them on interviewing skills. They go through and they do a lot of the peer social activities with those students. Wow. We have a motivational speaker with them. So the kids that are not, because not everybody is going to 4-year or, you know, the college. So we do a career component for those students, which the kids love. And that's we're trying to do more of that, like maybe do ASVAB for some of our sophomores. We're looking at ASVAB now too. So we're looking at other things now as we're doing this every year. So we're just tweaking it every year as we go by.
Yeah, and we would love to do what you guys are doing. So what we do is we do testing 9th through 11th. And then the seniors have the option to come in to do their FAFSA and college apps and scholarships and all that during PSAT. But it's kind of like if they want to. So this past year when we did it, we had how many, Dan? Was 150 or more kids come in?
Yeah, about that. And we had 60 the year before. So it's growing. It's growing. Oh, we've got some new ideas for next year, too.
Well, we have a panoramic picture that same day. So our seniors don't miss that day. So they do applications. We have community college applications, and then we have CSU and UCs. So they all work on some type of application during that day for our seniors, which is
nice. That's such a great idea.
Yeah, because our seniors don't, I mean, me being an AVID counselor, it's hard to help other kids. Well, this is a perfect day where our AVID kids are actually helping other kids do it, because most of the time our kids are pretty much done.
Yeah.
Well, they're started most of it. So it's a good opportunity for them to help other kids. So I don't put them all together. I sporadically put them all over and they help other kids. So they're like ambassadors that day.
Right.
And this was our fourth year of Kickoff to College. So I think what we're really excited to see is that the college going rate has gone up 10% in the last 5 years for us. And so we really think now, since the first group of freshmen, they'll have now become seniors and seeing kind of that overall impact after going through that process all 4 years for our students and kind of the knowledge and skill level that they have compared to what our freshmen 4 years ago would have had.
Yeah, you guys are making a great impact on your campuses. College Kickoff was something that went countywide. Can you share how special that was to see it go across the county?
Yeah, that was super exciting. So I think the first year that we did the Kickoff to College, you know, it was part of the collaborative, the five districts that we work with the RCEC. And there's about 25 schools out of the RCEC that participated. And then this year, we actually got to see the number. And there's 173 total schools countywide that did the Kickoff to College. So that's really exciting. And it makes me happy to see that, you know, that impact is not only spread in our district, but also outside the district and throughout the county that, you know, I think you're going to start seeing that college going rate improve in a lot of districts that have implemented that process for their sites too.
Yeah. And if for anyone that doesn't know what RCEC is, can you tell them what that is?
Yeah, the RCEC is the Riverside County Education Collaborative, and it consists of Temecula, Murrieta, Moreno Valley, Val Verde, and Paris school districts. And it's something that just came about, I think it was about 5 years ago when the RCEC started. And really, it's focused around a few initiatives, really focused on college going, FAFSA completion, rigorous coursework, so looking at AP, dual enrollment, and that type of stuff. And it's kind of how we've been able to, I think, really get the word out about some of the initiatives that we've been working on, because Kick Off to College is one of the initiatives. The FAFSA Race to Submit is another one of the initiatives, and that's gone countywide as well. I know we're still working on some kind of follow-up things now. The RCEC each of our districts have kind of split up and created groups to focus on some other areas. And this year I'm working on College Match with my group, and really looking at ways to help support students making the right choice for college based on, you know, several different criteria, and hoping to improve that persistence now. You know, we're getting them there, but now how do we get them to be persistent going through? And so really the whole goal of the RCEC is to kind of continue to improve our practices, and then be able to share those practices and improve them, not just within the collaborative, but also countywide.
Well, I like that. As an AVID coordinator, I think it's super important that they're able to do the research like that and find what kind of fits them as a student based on what their capabilities are, what their scores and stuff are. It's super important.
Yeah.
And one of the main roadblocks always seems to be money. So the FAFSA deadline for max grant aid just passed a few weeks ago. What do you guys do to promote FAFSA completion in your schools?
Well, we do a big push. We start early. We offer them 2 extra graduation tickets if they finish by December, and they get 1 if they finish before March 2nd deadline. So we do a big FAFSA push. In fact, we do offer a FAFSA fiesta where we reward a lot of prizes. We raffle off TVs. We offer off bikes and grad night tickets and extra actual graduation tickets for the students. And we do a lot, you name it. The district helps us a lot in getting us prizes. Actually, Julie does a great job in getting us prizes, but we do also offer a yearbook. We have, so the kids want to come to this fiesta, because we had 502 actually go to the FAFSA fiesta a couple of weeks ago when we had it. And it was just a great experience. We post a lot of pictures up if you guys want to see them on our website. But it's a great opportunity for kids to be involved. We have a big band there. We had a DJ this year. And then we have piñatas. And so it's, the kids want to go. If they don't go to this, it just doesn't look good. So they know they have to start to do their FAFSA. So it's a big push we do. And then we also have a lot of buy-in with teachers. They help us out with that. And we just, for 2 weeks straight, we harass them and we call them into class. We call their home. And Julie does a lot of that district off as well.
So you highly encourage them.
Yes.
No one's twisting arms.
Yeah. What we actually do at the district office too, I don't know if either of you have actually participated in the process of passing a school bond, but this idea kind of came from the work we did a few years ago. And then just recently we just passed another school bond. But one of the things that you do when you're passing a school bond is you call people and talk about why they should pass the bond. So we actually phone bank, and we call it Dialing for Dollars, and it's with our whole district level administrative team and our site admin teams come together in February, and we do Dialing for Dollars. And so any student that has not yet completed the FAFSA, we have on a list, and we divide it up amongst all of our administrators. And now our administrators individually call families to encourage them, answer any questions, ask them if they need assistance, and then actually, you know, leading up to scheduling appointments for them to come in and fill out the FAFSA. So, you know, at the district level, we really see the value in participating in that to support the school sites.
Yeah.
And I think that really helps with the buy-in and just kind of setting that culture of this is something that we know our kids deserve. And it really creates that culture of the district level administrators. We have our superintendent making phone calls and calling families all the way down to, you know, all of our site level principals and assistant principals. Even if they work at the middle school, they're making phone calls home and talking about FAFSA. So it's a bit understood that this is something that's very important as a district for us to support the sites and to support students so that they have better opportunities when they do get accepted to college for finding that right fit for what they can financially afford also.
That's amazing that you guys do that. I know at our school, we do a phone banking, but it's mainly like the teachers and the staff, they can volunteer if they want to help. So how do you guys get the district? Is it like a volunteer basis, or do you pay them, or do you do it during the day and they don't have to come after work? Can you share that with everyone?
Well, yeah, the administrators probably won't like my response, but because we're administrators, there's not really a voluntary basis. It's actually a requirement. Leadership. Yeah, it's a leadership meeting that we have every month. It's just that our February leadership meeting is actually turned into the Dialing for Dollars, where we don't do anything in the other activities. We just do the activity of doing the Dialing for Dollars.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. So this question goes for Julie. Can you share about the National Student Tracker and how you use it in your district?
Yeah, so we started using this because it was kind of introduced to us through Riverside County Office of Ed, through the RCEC. And really, we look at it from two perspectives. We look at it from the big picture perspective of, you know, looking at college going rate, looking at where our students are going to college, because it does a really great job of kind of identifying your top 25 to 30 schools that your students are going to. And big picture, it helps us look at, you know, the demographics of our students and those demographics, where are they choosing to go. It also helps us identify maybe some partnerships that we need to work on if we see where a lot of our students are going, developing better relationships with the colleges to help support that transition for our students. And then on a much deeper level, looking at it through the lens of the student level. So looking at it with specific students. A couple years ago, we really did kind of a deeper dive into our specific students, because we looked at our college going rate and we're trying to figure out why some of our students didn't end up going. And so even being able to follow up with students down to the student level and making phone calls and then identifying why they might have gotten accepted to a four-year school, and then we find out that they didn't go to school at all. Mm-hmm. And identifying why they didn't go, so that we can hopefully improve our practices at our school sites to ensure that whatever those reasons are that we're kind of identifying, you know, financial means definitely comes up quite a bit. I think we've seen some challenges with just the DREAM Act, and for our undocumented students, sometimes that can be challenging also. And so trying to find ways to kind of mitigate some of those challenges that we have identified through the student level data to help improve some of those practices. And I would say, you know, even with what we're doing right now with the student tracker, we're still kind of just barely scratching the surface of what student tracker can really bring to a district, and looking at the data for the college going rate and demographics and how to support our students better.
Yeah, I love the student tracker, and it's very helpful, especially like, you know, when some schools will say, oh, we had 100% college students go to college, and then you pull the data and like the actual enrollment is different. So like the past 2 years we've had, I think, a 12% increase in college enrollment. I know it's been great. Our students and staff are doing amazing things. And I was going to tell you guys about this article I just saw on the National Student Tracker social media. It said, what if academics ruled basketball, the women's edition? So let's say you had a tiebreaker, right, in a basketball game. And the way for you to move on to be the national champion for NCAA was they would pull the athlete's grades and if they were continuing with their education. So it's a really good article. I'll post it so you guys could see it on our YouTube, and I'll even email it to you guys. You could check it out. It would be great if they actually did that, because it's, yeah, you know, academics would be first in this.
Mm-hmm. Right. That would be, yeah, awesome. Definitely.
Well, before we move on to our Sunshine Spotlight, is there anything you want to share with everyone else that we may not have talked about?
I think one of the biggest things that I want to address is that something that came from the college kickoff is a little bit before that, we started this legacy program. It's for our students that are not in AVID. So basically any student that's A through G, we have a separate program for those students. And what happens is our non-AVID counselors actually do a lot of activities with them, like a lot of the AVID stuff that they do. But with those students, they do field trips with them at least once or twice a month, once a month or every other month. And they actually have parent nights with them. And then we also, we do a lot of the college kickoff, the college sign. We do the college application night with those students. And so we do a lot of the extra stuff that AVID. So one of the things we learned from the college kickoff is that we need to do more for our kids that are not just AVID. We need to start doing more things for our other students, because we're not going to be able to increase our A through G if we don't start doing more for the other students. So we did this program, and now they get a stash if they meet A through G. So we have them, they develop a stash for them as well. So that kind of helped the culture a lot in our heritage. And that's something that's really helped us a lot for A through G. And that's something that we're proud of. Sherry Adami has been working really hard with that legacy program, so I just wanted to mention that.
Sash, like for graduation type thing? Or?
Yeah. As long as they meet A through G, mm-hmm, and they meet the requirements, they get a sash. And it's legacy. That's their brand, their legacy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Well, for this Sunshine Spotlight, we like to share something that made you happy this past week. So can you each tell us at least one thing that made you happy?
Well, I think UCLA apps, applications acceptances just came out this week. So it's really nice to have, I think I had a really a good number of students this year, which I think I more than last year, which is kind of nice. So it's kind of, you feel like, oh my gosh, am I doing so much for these kids? And then they don't get in. So it's nice to see a lot more acceptances coming in. So that's one of my highlights of the week.
I think I would kind of say the same thing along the lines of just the college acceptances, because that's been kind of the scuttle around the district the last couple of days, is the students getting their acceptance letters and the how excited everybody gets to see their students getting accepted. Like UCLA was a big one. I think I've heard of already in the district like 8 or 9 students being accepted to UCLA. And I think that that's not typically the case. I think we usually have just a handful. So seeing more students get accepted to schools. And I know right now we have one of our campuses is on their AVID trip, Paloma Valley. They're on their AVID junior trip this week. So I always love seeing all the posts from the stops that they've made and the different schools that they've visited.
Yeah, for my Sunshine Spotlight, I'm very passionate about helping students get free money for college. And so as Dan will tell you, on our AVID trip, I kept checking our FAFSA data. But
yeah, every morning, first thing on the bus.
Every morning I would pull that CSAC web grant data. But it's just been amazing to see like our FAFSA completion rates grow. We're over 80%. A couple years ago, we were like in the 60% range, and seeing more kids go to college and getting excited that, you know, there's money out there to help them. Mm-hmm. It's been like a culture change, and I've seen so many kids just realize, hey, they can do this.
And it's funny you said that, because this is the time where they're bringing their award letters. I have a girl getting $25,000 for UC Santa Barbara. She got like full FAFSA, and then they're giving her extra money, the scholarships through mm-hmm. Santa Barbara.
Wow.
It's just amazing how all the new aid they're getting. I've never seen them give an extra grant and an extra scholarship for her grades. So it's really nice to see that.
Yeah. And we had a student, AVID student, our Reach Higher Club president. She won the Dell scholarship, and Dan could probably tell you about it. So we were so excited for her.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
We were, for mine, this week was actually, it was a pretty exciting week, but from the junior trip and getting to bond with the juniors and seeing their excitement and seeing a bunch of different colleges, to actually being on the way home and getting messages from my seniors who were, you know, back at home getting accepted to UCLA. We had 3 in the program. I have 60 seniors, and 3 of them from the program I know got accepted to UCLA. And then San Diego released 2. We had a high number for San Diego. And so it's super exciting to see this time. And they know now that it's time to look at the financial aid and start making some big decisions.
Exactly.
So we'll start taking that and breaking that down and the literacy behind that. And it's a good time of the year. It really is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for being part of our podcast. If you could just say goodbye to everyone out there listening.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. On our next podcast, we will be interviewing Santiago High School, which is in Corona Norco Unified School District. Their counselors will be sharing all the great things they do with college and career. They were also a ASCA National Model RAMP recipient. So we are excited to talk with them for our April episode. So be sure you stay tuned for that one. Thank you for tuning in to Reach Higher Riverside. You can follow us on Twitter at RH Riverside. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Reach Higher Riverside. You can also subscribe to our iTunes or Google Play Music and give us a rating. Thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate all of you tuning in. And as Michelle Obama would say, when they go low, we reach higher.